Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, while Francis and now Leo were both regarded as reformist modern thinking popes, the world is yet to see much in the way of reform or modernity from the Catholic Church, particularly in relation to women. It does beg the question of why a woman would want to be a member of a church that affords them no say and no power. The Redemptorist priest Tony Flannery, who's had his own difficulties with the Vatican for speaking his mind, is among those who feel change is long overdue. Good afternoon, Tony.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good to be with you.
Now, could you explain what is synodality and that was introduced by Francis, and how might that potentially change things?
Sean, you should have started with an easy question. This was Francis's idea, and it, fundamentally it's an excellent idea, because what he was trying to do was take the total... The church effectively has been totally controlled by the clerical caste, those who were ordained, priests, bishops, cardinals, that. He, in this movement of synodality, Francis was trying to give a voice to the people. And the theological thing he was saying was baptism, the first of the sacraments, is the fundamental sacrament, and every baptized person in the church is equal, and that would mean everyone has an equal voice. Now, that was fairly radical stuff, and he worked on that for about 5 years. It's still ongoing. I don't know. I know, and a lot of others, we were very positive and excited about it at the beginning, because it's very much the sort of thing that we in church reform movements have been trying to achieve. But I'm afraid it's beginning to run into the sand at this stage. I hope not, but I have a fear of that. Does that make sense to you, Sean?
No, that does make sense. Everyone, by dint of baptism, has an equal say in the church. In practical terms, though, Tony, what might that theoretically mean?
Well, it would basically mean that the total control that is being exercised by the clerical caste would have to cede at least some of their power and their decision-making, maybe, and of course their ministry, to lay people. So lay people would have a voice in how the church is run at local level. They would be much more involved in what happens in church, and hopefully then moving towards the day when women would actually be ordained and say the masses and do the sacraments and all of that, say like it's happening in the Church of England.
Now, that, when you say it might be running into the sand, who's the sand?
Well, I think my friend Brendan Hoban, who's very involved in this, always says that ultimately the clerical caste, the priests at local level, the bishops and the cardinals, are not prepared to cede any of their power and authority. Now, we're very familiar with that at all levels in life. Authority is a mighty thing when it gets hold on people, and they want at all costs to cling on to it. And there's a fair share of that going on in the church at the moment.
So within the kind of, if you like, the politics of the Vatican, Tony, that there are enough people there with a vested interest in slowing this kind of movement any kind of change down.
Absolutely, Sean. That is very, very true. Now, Francis began to, and Francis was a great critic of the Curia, as we call it, the structure within the Vatican, and he attacked them for their clericalism and all of that. And he began to appoint women into important positions in the Vatican, and some are still there, which is good, and I would hope that Leo will continue with that. But even Francis wasn't prepared to move on even allowing women to be deacons. Now, I don't know if people understand what deacon is. It's sort of the stage before priesthood. And deacons can perform some of the ministries of priests, but they cannot say Mass and they cannot hear confessions, and there's one or two other sacraments they cannot administer, but at least they can do a good bit of what happens in the church. But and there are men deacons, married men too as deacons, but absolutely no to women in that position. And that's a shame.
That is, yeah. Is there also still, Tony, a strong strain there of, and maybe I'm being unfair by calling it arrogance, but that it takes the view of, if you're not a Catholic, you're not getting into heaven. Everyone else will burn.
Yeah, I thought that that had died out, but I see it's rearing up again. The notion that in that article that I wrote for the journal to which you're referring to there, Pope John Paul produced a new catechism for the Catholic Church in 1990. And it was really a throwback to the old days. And one of the things that it emphasized was that only through Christ can people be saved. Now, that is straight away cutting out two-thirds, if not three-quarters, of the population of the world, including all the other major religions outside of Christianity, and saying that none of them can be saved. That's an extraordinary claim to make, and it just makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see the church getting away from that sort of talk. And I would have thought that it had done, but you see, we had the Vatican Council in the middle of the last century, which really brought about change and give us all great hope. I was a young priest at the time, and I thought we had a brave new world. But then along came Pope John Paul, and followed by Benedict, and they really brought the church back to the old ways. Now, Francis and Leo are trying to reignite that reform movement. And they're doing it well in some areas, and then in the area of women, they're failing. But I love what Francis is doing in the way he's talking about war and violence and the way he's taking Trump on.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yeah. The things, though, the kind of seeking back to being dogmatic about beliefs and that you were just referring to, there must be a sense within some parts of the church that's counterproductive, that it increasingly jars with the world the way it is, and that the church isn't addressing the world the way it is.
Yeah, very, very correct in that, Sean, and my article deals with that. You see, the advancement of science has raised all sorts of questions, and the Hubble telescope, isn't it, that came out towards the end of the last century, opened up a whole new vision of the universe, and we learned more about creation and how long that world is in existence. They say about 16 billion years, and humanity is on the earth for about 150,000 years. So it raised big questions about some of the gospel, some of the Bible, like the story of creation. Adam and Eve and the apple and all of that, that is all mythology. That is not a historical description of what happened. And that's fine. We all have our myths. We're great in Ireland for having mythological stories too. And you can learn from them, and they can contain truths in themselves. But the mistake that happened in the Catholic Church, and it happened quite early back, 3rd, 4th centuries, they began to shape dogmas on the stories, like the story of creation, original sin and all that, as if there were actual historical events. And they made dogmas out of them that they declared Catholics had to believe and still have to believe in order to be Catholics. And they just don't make sense anymore now that we know so much about science. And this whole notion of the God up in the heavens, sitting on his throne and passing judgment, is just so utterly out of tune with the way we understand the universe now. Even the great scientist Einstein, who himself was a non-believer, but towards the end of his life, because of all that he had discovered about the universe and about the way it operates and the absolute wonder and mystery of it all, he eventually said, from what I see and from what I have learned, I have to accept that at some level there is a great mystery behind all of this. Now, that for me is the best image of the divinity.
Yeah.
I don't even like using the word God anymore because it has the whole image of the old man in the skies. So that God is actually much closer to us than the man in the skies.
Yeah.
He's in us and he's all around us. Myself and a friend of mine yesterday went for a walk up the hills, and the primroses, Sean, are just remarkable this year, at least in the area I'm living. And we stood there looking at this profusion of beautiful primroses. And we turned to each other. Now, I know both of us have a religious background and that, and we say, that's the face of the divine smiling on us.
Hmm.
I like that notion now, rather than the judging God in the heavens.
Are you pessimistic about the future of the Catholic Church, Tony?
My next birthday is 80, so I'll be gone. I suppose it disappoints me that they are, like, even take Leo now. Sarah Mullally was, I suppose, is the word ordained or whatever, as head of the Anglican Church in Westminster there a few weeks ago. Leo sent her a lovely message and wishing her well and praising her and giving her his blessing and all of that. And there's very little difference really between what Sarah believes and what she stands for and what Leo believes and stands for. And at the same time, Leo doesn't seem to be able to see the utter contradiction of that, that while he can be so positive about her, he still keeps the door closed against women in the church. And I do believe, and I think a lot of people say this nowadays, that unless the Catholic Church can open its doors to women at all levels of equality in the church, it doesn't have a future. So yes, I suppose in that sense, I would be a bit pessimistic. But then, John, churches come and churches go. I believe that the divine presence is a reality in all our lives and will continue to be. And that's something I'd have total belief in.
Tony, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and happy birthday for the next birthday there. That's Tony Flannery there, the Redemptorist priest, with a good old brain on him. One texter says, the Catholic Church is afraid of becoming Protestant, a progressive style of the Catholic Christianity. Someone else says, a friend of mine was a priest for 20 years before getting married and having a family. He said priests will never be allowed married because the wives would have a right to money and property. That's never going to be allowed. Ironically, he was working on the missions for years. He said that every Irish priest had a girlfriend. And somebody else says, posits a theoretical question. If a person is born on a remote island, lives a good life and never does much harm to anyone, but doesn't know about Christ, how could he, she be saved if they never knew about Christ? Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about, there's, you know, more than a billion Muslims or people who are born in all sorts of different parts of the world. The fact that we are, I suppose, nominally a Christian country, a Catholic country, is just really an accident of birth. If you were born someplace else, you'd be a different religion and it wouldn't occur to you to change that religion.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.